episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. The world fades away. It's just you and me dancing in the sea.
Welcome, Mehdi. We are Ed E-Train. Welcome, welcome, everybody. It is the Wednesday Arvo show, and it is the 8th of January, 2025. And now we can say that Mehdi has joined us in the future of 2025.
That's great.
How was your new year? Did you rein it in really well? Or?
Yeah, it was reined in mostly memorably from the comfort of my apartment. Nothing too crazy, but yeah, it wasn't a bad time. How was the rest of the first day of the year for the two of you?
Yes, that is correct. That is correct. Yeah, so we are missing Beachy tonight. She does have something on, but we will catch her on the next show. But she was wanting to talk about portals, so we'll just quickly run through why she wanted to talk about portals. It's because she saw X in the sky, and she thought maybe Elon Musk was talking to her, and we were just jokingly saying that was the portal into 2025. And after I don't know how many lemon drops she had, maybe she actually just made it through that X and into 2025. So yeah, so I mean, look, with portals, like, they're basically like doors, you know, like our doors that we enter an exit room or a house. But we could talk about things that portals in the world as well. So apparently the natural world has a phenomena of magnetic energy, and it's usually concentrated in one area. So your locations generally will include a riverbank and points of confluence, which is a point of juncture. So you've got that in waterfalls, caves, certain treetops, mountains and hills. So there's portals can be used in quite a few things, I would say, and where we would find them. So they do say that we do find them around us naturally in the natural world, but there's also one we probably would know a little bit more about would be spiritual portals. So these are the subtle gateways that allow energy to pass from one dimension to another. And then you've got, and this is usually of pagan origin, so you've got your prayers, your chants, your rituals, and they're means to tap into the energy flow that emanates from these portals. So sometimes, you know, we are looking for something higher, but how do we find that stuff? And usually these portals are away. But I just wanted to tap into something else in regards to portals. Now, I'm just going to say thanks to Silas Speaks, who actually put up a video, which I watched today. It only went for 7 minutes. It's Carl Jung, A Shadow of Understanding Your Dark Side. Now, it talks about the journey of life with our ups, downs, trauma, loss, and ego. And this also, when I'm thinking about the understanding your dark side, which is your shadow, it can relate to the heart portal. And these are opened by keys of positive emotions and based on the spirit of oneness. So your emotions are like love, gratitude, faith, forgiveness, hope, and the surrender to higher self. But there's also the negative side, and this is where the shadow sort of comes into it, which is the negative emotions, which is the sense of separateness. And you've got things like fear, guilt, sorrow, anger, and self-doubt. And we can also be confined to a prison of our own making. So with Carl Jung, it said that the shadow was part of you that you'd rather not be. So there's parts of us that we hold inside and we bury it. But little do we know that it actually holds a key to ourself. So he just says that the shadow is unseen twin of ourselves, and if it's buried, the self festers. So we can transform the shadow. And then it just talks about the shadow being a hidden chapter, which can bring depth and meaning into making ourselves whole. And then the question would be, will you venture into the shadows? So that's quite an interesting topic to look into, especially if you're thinking about portals and stuff like that. That could be one way of looking into bettering yourself. This thing about the shadow is actually really good. We won't go too deep into it. There will be another that will be another chat that we could do. But there's so many links into that. Now, the other link I just wanted to mention in regards to this Carl Jung was about Cassiopeia. Now, let me
and just for reference, anyone in the Truth Meets server, I share this in the show chat note. So thank you, Silas, having the chance to watch this yet myself. But yeah, everything.
Yeah, so said about the subject. Yeah, so we've got this little bit about Cassiopeia that that I was in my messages here. So Cassiopeia is somewhat astrological or astrotheological representation of the pride and the shadow, the light and the shadow invariably cast. So that in itself, Cassiopeia was talking, we're talking about a symbol here. And that can relate back to what Carl Jung was talking about. Now, for the people who are listening, the actual video can be found on YouTube, and it's Carl Jung, J-U-N-G is the surname, and the shadow of self-understanding your dark side. So it's a 7-minute video if you wanted to learn a little bit more about your shadow and how you can tap into all these things for a better self, please do so. And I just found a little bit of info about Cassiopeia herself, because she was actually a Greek goddess. Let me have a look here. And it just says that she is the queen of the vanity of vain, basically. Yeah. So she was famously known as the queen of Ethiopia. In myth, she portrayed as a figure of exceptional beauty, but also of great vanity and pride. So there is quite a bit about her punishment from Poseidon and what she had to face in regards to that. But in saying that, we're going to move into a little bit about Project Stargate. And Mehdi, you've read a little bit about this as well. But I'm just saying, in regards to this project we're about to embark on and talk about, the sacrifice of Andromeda, which was the daughter of Cassiopeia. Cassiopeia and her husband, King Cephas, consulted an oracle. The oracle decreed their daughter, Andromeda, must be sacrificed to the sea monster. And so it says, thus Andromeda was chained to a rock by the sea and was offering to Cetus. However, her fate took a turn when hero Perseus arrived, saving her and killing the beast. Perseus and Andromeda eventually married, a union that formed one of the most famous love stories in Greek mythology. So look at all the links that we have in regards to portals and where it takes us. It's quite a broad subject, and it can have a lot of meaning for the person, like for yourself, as in me, you, and in self-discovery as well. So, guys, what have we got in regards to Project Stargate? What is it about?
Well, I'm not one to ever speculate too much on anything that the CIA has conducted extensive programs on. So with this specific subject, I won't go into the weeds too far. But one thing I can say is just the idea of remote viewing. It seems to hold water conceptually. The idea that our essence, this metaphysical characteristic of ourselves, can travel to a specific place and time at any one particular time, it's not completely far-fetched. Again, just from a pure concept standpoint. Now, in actual practice, who knows? I wouldn't trust any actual paper that's been released. I would say that the research is just as likely counterintelligence as it is illegitimate outright. But just us, ourselves, if we ever wanted to really learn, is remote viewing something that does hold any water? Is there any legitimacy to this phenomenon? It wouldn't be terribly hard. If you go to Reddit, there are a few different subreddits where you can find hundreds of people at any given time who claim to be avid remote viewers or avid astral projectors. A lot of people see astral projection and remote viewing in similar lights. I don't know if that's necessarily the case. But the main takeaway is it would not be too hard to find 10 to 20 people who claim to be experts in this phenomenon, gather them all together, have them all visit the same place and time, preferably a remarkable event in history or specifically memorable history, something that other people could have witnessed and account for loosely. If 10 to 20 people could all visit the spot, and there's even a loose amount of corresponding details that are shared amongst them, I would say that there's a good chance there's some legitimacy that you are able to actually practice this idea of remote viewing, of metaphysically time traveling, as it were. But of course, the only way to really know that would be doing that study, and doing that study would be very determinant on the honest reporting of those who claim to be experts. But anyway, that's my thoughts on it in a nutshell.
Yeah, well, it just goes to show, because there was a movie called Stargate where they actually went through a portal. as we know, that it's a gateway. And they went to another planet, and they used it to navigate through the stars, and they were using symbols and stuff like that. If you were to research and probably delve into it, you probably find that a lot of that is esoteric. But with the Project Stargate itself, it was something between America and the Soviet Union that we know as Russia now. And it was them, basically, was the US, the CIA, trying to harness psychic energy against the Soviets. So there was always this back and forth. And we often see that, and I think I have spoken about this before, we often see that in movies in earlier times. So mainly, like, James Bond is probably a really good one that we can reference, where it was like the British and US against the Soviets. You know, it was all that red and blue sort of thing. Again, here we go again with that. But they were looking at exploring, reading other people's thoughts, telepathy, predicting the future, and their ability, like you were saying, Mehdi, to view a place or time remotely without actually being there. And there's heaps and heaps of TV shows that we love watching that do all that sort of stuff as well. I remember there was one particular show that we used to love watching. It was called The Fringe. They used to explore that. X-Files sort of goes into, a little bit, other sort of things where they were basically aliens and studying all that sort of stuff as well. But The Fringe was more looking at all other weird aspects as well. You also had shows, I think I only watched a couple of episodes, like La Brea. Lost was a perfect one because they were all in an aeroplane and the plane left, went. Nobody knows where it went except for these people, and they were stuck.
I'm so glad that I got to avoid that show. I've heard from too many people. It was just one of the worst time sinks of their life. I'm blessed in that regard. I did not get sucked or
It went for too long. The seasons went.
That's right. They were lost for too long. The writers got lost. The directors got lost.
That's right. They were just making the show up as they went along too. Because after the break.
Fuck you, after the break. Sorry.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to another conversation
or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
And you're back on truthmeets.com, and it's the Wednesday Arvo show. It's D-Train, Mehdi, and Verilicious. It is the 8th of January, 2025. D-Train, you had a thought? Let's go on with it.
I've forgotten what it was now. We were just...
beauty of the break.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No. I was just talking about Lost, but that's okay. But just the way that we got the idea for the Portal show was on New Year's Eve. Now, New Year's is a gateway, which is what a portal is, or a door, which is supposed to enter through the door to the next year and then close the door behind you. So you set new goals and you try and break old habits and all that sort of stuff. The idea behind the New Year resolution and everything is to walk through that portal, that door, and close it behind you, right? So, and that ties in with the, I think the Chinese, well, I posted in the show chat the something that I posted on New Year's Eve about the, they did a drone show with the dragon trying to enter through the porthole.
Oh, yeah. Man. Real quick, I'm going to take that opportunity to say, when I commented in the show chat saying super realistic fireworks, I hope anyone reading that knows that was sarcasm. I don't know.
Yeah, we all got it.
I didn't think I was looking at fireworks. Anyway, I'm sorry. D-Train, please continue. That was rude of me.
There's lots of portals. And then we mentioned the Stargate thing. Now, Stargate is something that you travel through physically in the popular culture. But the idea of the Stargate is a traveling mechanism. You can physically travel from one place to another. What Mehdi was talking about, remote viewing, is something that you do that can transport your mind or your eyes. It was initially developed as a spy, which ties into what you were talking about, Verilicious, about James Bond and the Cold War and the espionage that occurred during that period of time, yeah? So they wanted to be able to remotely view or spy on their competition without being detected. So they went into all these different programs and they tried to see if they could get people. And there's even theories and stories that have come out of all that saying that there are levels of remote viewing as well, Mehdi. Have you heard of the, I think it's from memory, you can get the remote guardians, yeah? So just hypothetically, the Russians would have remote viewers in these sensitive areas focused on detecting remote viewers coming in to spy on the remote,
exactly.
Yeah.
Like
and they could actually stop them. Yeah. So that's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing stuff.
It's pretty amazing just how well documented it was. From roughly the 70s, the genesis of this program, well into the mid 90s, and then in 1995 they outright.
Yeah, I think it was 1995.
Oh, this is a waste of time.
Yeah, that's right. they defunded the programs and they declassified the programs in 1995. So that's pretty interesting. So that you can go back into the records, whether they're made up or not. I mean, who knows? There's no way that you can verify any of this stuff. I haven't remote viewed anything, so I'm not going to say yay or nay. But what about you guys?
Well, so that's a good point to bring up. I am quite skeptical that any individual that claims to have achieved this task or this skill, whatever you want to call it. Not because I don't believe that it's possible, but because I think we're all going to be quite biased to our own subjective experience, and our imagination is quite a beautiful thing. So it's one of those things where I think I need a number of people sharing nearly identical experiences to even really think that there is truth to any one shared set of people that claim to be able to do this. But any one person, it'd be hard to take their word for it, because if they share any details that go against what is shared, the popular narrative about any specific event, but they share any of details that go beyond, that you can't prove one way or another, I mean, you're just taking them at their word at face value. And most people that rely on that typically are full of shit, in my experience.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Yeah, because you tend to look alike. People tend to want to know what their future is, so they will consult like an oracle or a seer or something like that, what they call these days, clairvoyance and all that kind of stuff. But I think in that sense, there's a part of us that actually can guide our own future and what we where we want it to go as well, and where we're going to project ourselves. So I think that's the inner self that we can project for that. So, I mean, it sounds so woo-woo in Beachy's words. I love you, Beachy. but that we talk about, like, people wanting to travel through time and through and do this remote viewing, and whether it's not just the physical body we're talking about the mind, just the mind traveling. And they love the art world. So I'm talking about movies and even in ways of other art, whether it's photography or painting, music. You often, and Japanese anime is massive for this, where they love the different dimensions we go into, and they astro project themselves, whether it's the physical being or the spiritual being of themselves. And then we see all these sort of things. Now, in wanting to do the whole thoughts thing, I think there was a movie with Johnny Depp where he dies, and they wanted to transport all his thoughts and all that into a computer. And, you know, these are the things that we see happening today. Now, I think there was something like, was it Elon Musk wanted to try and do something like that, something called the Neuralink and things like that. So people want to go there. Like, people really want to go there. They want to discover, like, what's unknown to them, and they want to do it. And so, in a sense, do we become we're involving machines, you know? We are a year of, what are they calling the generation for 2025? Is called the beta generation, and this is a generation of AI as well. So it's very interesting in which way our future is going to go, and especially with the children growing up today and what they're being exposed to.
Especially with the children. It's so interesting seeing us go from Gen X, Gen Y, Gen Z to this next stage of Gen Alpha. That's just one of the most disconcerting things I've ever heard. Why are we starting back at Alpha with this next generation? What is going to happen between now and the next 10, 15 years?
Yeah, that's something we don't know. And this is where people, I think, want to just find out what the future is. And this is where that whole thing about the portals or time travel and things like that happen, and we see more and more of it. Now, we were just watching also the new Star Trek. It's called Strange New Worlds, something like that. And it was going back. This is before Captain Kirk. And it's very interesting, all the different types of species that they have, alien origin, and what they can do. Now, this one particular episode reminded me of what we were talking about, vibrations and also resonance, and that was using the language of music. Now, we never really thought about it, but music is another language, and not only do we use speech, and we all speak different languages and we can understand each other, but we can use things like music as one of them as well. So I found that very interesting. So not only as thought, so you've got the aliens there that are telepathic, so they use that sort of thing for communicating telepathically. And then you've also got the communication for music as well as words. And the universal translator, like, imagine, I don't know so many languages. I have an ear for certain languages because of my parents and their background, and I can understand what they're saying, but I cannot speak it as well. So I think you're going to find that a lot of us know how to decode if we're growing up in a family that has a different background. Family, yeah. That's right. But predominantly grow up speaking English. You know, so it's very interesting, and I find that's probably another thing. That's another big thing as well. Yeah. So going back on your what are we talking about? Yep. How you go off at the bumper, Mitty. That's the negative.
That's me so channeling my negative feeling.
Yeah. So this is where. Yeah. Yeah, well, this is where we where we don't want to be confined to the to our prison of negativity, and where we can bring to light like some of the positive things. So I just find that funny. That's all.
Yeah. You know, and remote viewing is something that I would love to personally investigate further if I had any idea where to really properly begin. There's just so many red herrings around us, so many shysters and false prophets claiming to be experts that it's hard to make heads or tails of where to start where you're not outright wasting your time. And although the implications of potentially learning how to remote view any one place or time would be almost infinite. I mean, you could use that to your advantage for an inconceivable amount of different ways. I don't see a productive way to currently go about studying it without relying on others who claim to already have expertise. Of course, yeah. I think we should learn to do things for ourselves, but time is short. If there are others who've already made the wheel, what are we waiting on building a car?
I just thought that
in the moment, not very good, but whatever.
And I think D-Train mentioned this, I think it was this week, we were talking about a little bit about the watches. And that kind of reminded me about remote viewing, who these watches are, because they've come out of different times and different places. Where do they stand in time?
Well, the watches came from the spiritual realm. Okay, so we were talking about a Babylonian thing here. It's mentioned in the Bible, but from the perspective of King Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah, so who was a Babylonian king who was talking about and wanted a dream that he had to be interpreted, and he saw watches in the dream. And that's not a biblical expression. It's a Babylonian expression that's talked about in the Bible, right? So, and here we go with the Stargate. I've just put in show chat how the Stargate idea, you get ancient excavations of Sumerian Stargates. Also, it's tied in with Freemasonry as well and the Royal Arch of Heaven. So that's all, and that all comes from that region and the Babylonian and the earlier Sumerian genesis of religion from that area, and how it all comes from there. Super interesting. Even on to artistic visions of what humanity's future will be like, whether it's shows like Star Trek or, you know, any kind of space travel or whatever, they've all got Freemasonic undertones and everything like that, because it's essentially Sumerian undertones is the thread through it all. There's the Stargate, right, in Sumeria that have been excavated, and you've also got the cuneiform etchings on stone and tablet that have what appears to be engine-driven devices that can be talked about as UFOs and all this sort of stuff. People look at them and go, oh, that seems to be some sort of flying chariot or whatever that they're riding, yeah? So this idea of powered travel and being able to go quickly or instantly from one place to another has been from ancient times, and it's projecting into the future as well through popular culture, which is totally, like, it's amazing.
Yeah, it is. And you're looking at all the symbols too. The Masonic Royal Arch of Heaven has actually quite a few esoteric symbols there, referencing the luminaries, the compass, the Masonic compass. We also have, if I can make it out, a griffin. What else is there?
If you look at the top section of the, if you look at the top section of the arch, right, where it's got the number 69 sideways on it. Hey, but if you remember back to the 90s show, the movie Stargate, That's how, or even a TV show, I think you had to dial it up. You had to dial your location into the Stargate to where you want it to go, right? And that's how they used to do it. Yeah, they used to line the symbols up. So it was like dialing the old dial-up phone. So, so that's on the Royal Arch of Heaven in Freemasonry. So that's quite interesting. Who knew? Who knew back then that we were watching a Freemason show? And, I'll tell you who, fuck all people. That's who. I don't care what they say. Yeah. But back in the 90s, unless you were a Mason, nobody knew about any of this stuff. Because it wasn't until the late 90s that people started to hear about the hour of the time and all that sort of stuff. And most of us didn't get that until it was completed and we got the old tape version, because we didn't have internet radio back in the 90s, or we didn't hear, especially in Australia, you didn't hear Bill Cooper and stuff until basically the internet. And you could get you could download the tape version, the recorded version of the shows. So, so that was our first real, having a family from the United Kingdom too, a lot of people, especially of Protestant background, are Masonic in some way, shape or form, but they're not involved in any of this sort of stuff. Yeah. The Masonic halls are everywhere. Yeah. And people used to, you never used to be able to get a job if you weren't a Mason. Yeah, it was just part of the social fabric of the society. So, but most people, and I say that confidently, had no idea about any of this stuff and weren't even part of the order. You know, they weren't never ranked or anything. But it definitely has a bearing on society. That's for sure. And they definitely directed and pushed people in certain ways from the shadows. There you go. We're talking about the shadow again. But
But it's also interesting that we have been exposed to a lot of these things when we were younger as well. A lot of the television shows, like you were saying, probably some of the books we were reading, probably not so innocent in that sense, because we were. Yeah, well, we think about it, like you think about the kind of things, exactly, the nursery
rings
rhymes.
Rings around the rose, ashes full of pose.
The Grimm brothers, their stories, you know, all that kind of stuff as well, like the seemingly innocent, things that we thought was really innocent really have like a really dark side to them as
rock
well.
Rock the cradle until the baby falls out.
Yeah, rock a bye baby. Exactly. So it's quite an eye-opener as an adult when you sort of discover those sort of things and you're like, oh, that was really sort of fun things in my life. Like, the story of Sleeping Beauty, and then you've got who was the other one? Rumpelstiltskin and not Rumpelstiltskin, what's her name? Rapunzel, let down your hair. Right? Yeah. All those kind of things, and everything consists of magic. I mean, Disney was massively esoteric in ways of magic and having all that kind of stuff as well. We were exposed to that kind of things when we were children. And they're the things that we don't actually know because we're innocent, The people who want to delve into that stuff when they're older start to realize, hey, hang on a minute, why are we exposed to the darker side of things when it's meant to be innocent and it's supposed to be fun for children?
Well, that was every single Disney story ever.
After the break, we might remember.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to another conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
And welcome back, truthmeets.com. You're with the Wednesday Arvo show. Today we're just really talking about a little bit about portals. We're sort of continuing on from our time traveling and stuff like that in regards to our last Wednesday Arvo, because Mehdi and Beachy, they were still in 2024. And D-Train and I were in 2025. And we did have a few guests with us that last time as well. And it was actually really good. Like, we were all in a different time zone, but somehow we were connected. We were connected into the future, talking from the different time zones. So, yeah, and here we are all today. But, yeah, it is very interesting, all these things that when you sort of look back on it. And the other thing that I found interesting was also the whole transhumanism thing as well. You know, we, I think, as kids exposed, the very first memory for me would have been Astro Boy, in that sense as well. Then you've also got, like, in the Japanese anime, they love that, where it's, you know, the machine and the human combine, and the whole consciousness, and we find that there's a weave through time in that. Then also you had the $6 Million Man, who's the Bionic Man, the Bionic Woman. So I feel like most of the time they've been conditioning us through television itself, and even through books. Like, there was big certain books. There was the little golden books. I don't know if you guys ever read the little golden books, but there's a lot of that there as well. So it's,
yeah, that was Disney.
Yeah, so it's amazing, like, the kind of things that we're exposed to. So was that part of a particular programming? Are there things that we're supposed to, that as children we it goes into our imagination, because children have great imaginations, and can do, like, they can be very creative and all sorts of things like that. So does that play with our imagination? I mean, I used to love also reading Enid Blyton, about the faraway tree, and how, you know, the kids go up this tree, and they met who was the luminary, the Mr. Moonface, and all that kind of stuff. So they actually went into another, that really? Tree was their portal, right? Yeah, so they went into somewhere else. So this is the kind of thing that
was Jack's magic beanstalk.
That's right. That's right. So there's quite a few
of those things that we think is just
fantasy, only to find out that there is certain bodies of, shall we say, they're out there that actually want to delve into and find out how to really do it. And it's just not made up, and it's just not woo-woo stuff, and it's just not crazy talk. These are things that people really want to get into and really want to do. I think we even, that time we were talking about Tom Cruise, he was in that movie where they had the triplets.
The precogs, yeah.
Yeah.
The precogs. And they did that. They, using the triple mind, which is the triad, they were able to remote view the future and see crimes before they happened. That was the whole, precursor for that show.
Yeah, and I think there's a big thing that people want to look into the future. We really want to know what's going on and what's happening. And I think there's a lot of us that actually have a gauge, and with the timestamps of certain things that are happening in life and itself, and if we follow certain patterns and trends, because there are, believe it or not, Mehdi, I think you've talked about algorithms, and there are patterns, and you can see them. And people who aren't very knowledgeable in that sort of stuff, you can just take a step back sometimes and just observe your surrounding, and you will see patterns. You just, if you go to the same place every day, you sit and observe, and you will start to see patterns emerge. It's the best way to do it in real life.
And that's, you talked about that, viewing people on the beach. You'd sit at a cafe and be able to see someone's rhythm.
That's right. And we all have it. We all have that rhythm in ourselves as well. So it's really, to me, it's like very interesting now that we're talking about, and for me to have a memory of things like, oh, the things we were reading as children, the things we were taught as children, what we were allowed to watch on TV, what our parents thought was, okay, that's okay for you to watch. You can't watch this, you can't watch that, but you can watch this, which was probably the worst of them all. Is a lot of that stuff that had to do with the cartoons, right? Mm-hmm. Because as innocent as they seem, they actually weren't, when you think about it. you know, and we all grew to love the genie, you know. I dream of genie. Like, what little girl didn't want to be like either a princess or a genie or a, who was the other one that wanted to be? The mermaid.
What human wouldn't want to, you know, come across a genie and wish for a million wishes, right?
That's right. So it's quite, it's quite amazing when we, when we go back and think about all those things in our life, and then do they shape us who we are today? You know, have we gone through our own portal in time? Like, sometimes I think time for me stops, and then, and the whole mirror thing, and this is one thing I like about the mirror, is that you can see who you really are if you look, right? And you can either work with that and to better yourself as a person or to look into things, or you can ignore it and continue on with your life and not really do that self-discovery of yourself.
And it's far easier to ignore.
That's right. But then that becomes your personality of ignoring everything else in your life, right? So dangers happen. I just want to go with the flow. I don't want my life to change. I don't want this to change. So I'm going to do this, which in turn could end up being detriment to your own life, right? So sometimes foreseeing something, as if we have like a projection of a future, and even if we get a little glimpse of, say, a grain of like, okay, so what they put out there may not be 100% true. But could that like tiny, tiny 0.0001% be true? And could I take that? And could I work with that? You know what I mean? Because we're fed a lot of things in our life, and where the reality and now the stuff that is not real is blurred lines, and we have to unblur those lines. You know, and this is where 2025 is all a bit. It's all, yeah, look, it's all a little bit strange at the moment. I don't know if you guys know, but I was having a look at, people were talking about, and I had noticed a little bit about it in the media and also in some of the socials, in regards to this planetary alignment. It's happening on January 25th in 2025. Now, this apparently is when Jupiter and Saturn will actually cross paths, and maybe not so much in the southern hemisphere, but maybe in the northern hemisphere. So it talks about that it's one in, I can't remember how many years, but all the planets will end up aligning. At the moment, it will be aligning from Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, and then Venus. So they're going to be the four. So they're the four that we should be able to see, I think, especially in the northern hemisphere, not so much for the southern hemisphere. So we'll have to have a look to see what's happening for Australia and what we can see.
Do you need Trino and a telescope? So
you've got, no, we don't, but we could probably, we could probably rouse the telescope.
that's super interesting, because the book that I chose for my next read, I chose last night. It's called the fourth Turning, and that talks about how human history goes in cycles of four, each lasting about roughly 100 years. So that'll be an interesting read, and that fits in with this the sign of the times type conversation. But also, very licious, you were talking about a mirror. Now, I brought up Mesopotamia and Sumeria and stuff like that before. Interesting, the original glass was invented in Sumeria and Mesopotamia 4,000 years ago, I've just literally just lost the page that I was reading. But it was where they mixed sand and soda and that, and produced different colors of glass. So it's interesting. All the things that we're talking about all come from that one time period. And I'm assuming that it's not a stretch to understand that soon after inventing glass, you would have a mirror. It's common throughout people that travel and people that they carried polished metal as mirrors, yeah? But you were never getting a perfectly clear image as well. So there's the, is the image true or is it distorted? What you were, the reflection that you were looking at, is it a true reflection or is it distorted? That's another factor that's very interesting to consider with the mirror allegory. But great stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just taking a look at the image you shared. What's the name of that that software that's showing the night sky with all the constellations?
I'm not too sure.
They're actually sharing a screenshot from a software.
Yeah, the image is via the Stellarium and Earth
Stellarium,
Sky.
Stellarium, that's what it is. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
So let's have a look here because I'll be interested to actually have a look because at the moment it's cloudy and I've been trying to catch the night sky when it's clear, but we've had clouds lately. Now, the alignment's going to be Mars, Jupiter, Uranus, Neptune, Saturn, Venus. Now, we probably won't see Neptune or Uranus because they're going to be too far and they're quite small. But
yeah, well, Mars you can see every night just about with the naked eye. That's an easy one to see.
So having the big giants, the Jupiter and Saturn, will be interesting as well.
Well, Sirius is on there as well, but it's not in alignment. And you can see Sirius every night as well.
Yeah, so that would be interesting.
There is just an app that you can download from a Google Play Store where you put your mobile phone up to the stars and it gives you the – It actually on the screen, as you move it, it scrolls across the sky and tells you what the stars are that you're looking at. It's a free app. It's been around for years.
Yeah.
Which is super interesting.
Yeah, I used that back about 6 months ago when, not to get off the track at all here, when I recorded my bona fide unidentified flying object in the sky. I tried to have every last person I knew debunk it. So we went from the lens of going through all the flight logs, the flight radars, and then I looked from the cosmological perspective, using that software exactly. Could that have been a planet or any other star, what have you, from a cosmology viewpoint? And no, it didn't fit the bill. But sorry, that's my experience using it. It's good software. It definitely helped prove that we didn't know what we were looking at.
But is it true, though? But is it true to a thing, or is it just an app like you know how we were talking about the moon one time? And it's like if you have a particular phone and you take a photo of the moon, like our neighbor did that, and it was like, how come the moon, the background is black? It's you took a photo of the moon in the blue sky.
but it was the moonrise, and it was still daytime.
How do we know it's not an actual AI
that was an obvious one.
Yeah,
but there was a guy on YouTube that actually that did a debunking video on and demonstrated in real time that he used his iPhone and he had a second camera set up filming his experiment where he had a little drawing and he put it on against a black sheet of paper. Yeah, a white piece of paper over the top of a black piece of paper. And with his mobile phone, he zoomed in on it. Yeah. So this was all visible on the secondary camera. And as he zoomed in, the software within the Samsung camera replaced his image with, and it had craters and everything on it. Yeah. So the software detected the picture that looked like the moon. And replaced it in real time. So as he zoomed in, he was zooming in on the moon on his phone, but he was actually zooming in on a black piece of paper with a white piece of paper over the top of it. Yeah. He tricked the Samsung software into replacing his image with an image of the moon. So that's actually a real thing. I totally believe that experiment. The way the guy did it was so simple. It was just the perfect experiment. It was great. I'll have to find it and post it up. But, yeah, that was a good one. But yes, back to times and seasons and stars and portals and.
Yeah, so I was just having a look at the alignment. Let me go back and have a look here. So we've, not only do we have that also, but it also says that we are going to have a wolf moon, and that will be the 13th of January. It's a full wolf moon while this is happening as well. So you'll have the alignment plus the full moon. So that should be really interesting to see. So just it's given us – I've just jumped on Earth Sky, which has just given us a bit – about information in regards to planets near the moon in January 2025. So the 3rd of January, the crescent moon was close to Venus. The 4th, the crescent moon closer to Saturn. The 5th, the moon is near Neptune. So what date are we on today? So we are the 8th. So we've also got so the 9th, which for us will be tomorrow, and a couple of days for you guys in the States. So it says that on the 9th of January, the moon is near Uranus. Depending on your location on the globe, you might find it among the stars of the Pleiades star cluster. So I don't know my star clusters, but I'm pretty sure I will.
Nor do I. Not terribly versed.
And then the next night after that will be the moon is alongside Jupiter and it's still tracking the ecliptic or the sun's path. And then by the 13th, the full moon will be cozying up to Mars. In the east, so we should be able to see that. Hopefully, it's not cloudy, and we can catch that. So that would be awesome, just to see how that's working. Yeah, so that's very interesting. Have I lost you guys?
No.
Okay.
I'm just. I was just as you stopped talking, I was posting something.
Oh. I was actually just taking a look at that. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that there was the lull as I was reading the fourth turning. The fourth turning is here.
Yeah, so that's interesting interesting turn of events for 2025. And considering that it's also, I think we talked about it last time, it's going to be the year of the snake. So we've gone from the dragon to the snake. So there's heaps of astrological things going on. Things shifting in the universe. So we shall see. Is this a good thing with all these things happening? Who knows? I'll have to wait till Chinese New Year when it starts.
It depends on from what perspective you're viewing, I suppose.
Exactly.
Well, that's true. That could be true of any situation whatsoever. The perspective makes all the difference.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, interesting.
So I'm looking at it as a positive.
Yeah, as a positive thing. Yeah, well, that's right. And the thing is, that's the only way you can look at it. Like, if you are out there every day and you are grounding yourself and you are seeing what is happening out there in the world, you can make sense of it, you know. And I always find it, and I've always said that being on the sand and in the ocean is a very grounding experience. It really connects you to Earth. It really connects you to nature, you know. So it's one of those things when we were talking about the energies and, you know, going back to we were talking about the energy and portals have energy. So there's so many things that are happening. And that the aurora, which is supposed happened last year, is still happening down in the southern states. Now, we've had people in Tasmania, down in Victoria, and also very, very close
as far north
to
as like, New South Wales. Yeah.
New South Wales, still experiencing the aurora.
Still seeing the aurora, which is after the break.
After the break, the aurora may or may not be there.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to Conversation
or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
And welcome back. Truthmeets.com. You're with the Wednesday Arvo show. And you know what? It's a little bit of a celestial talk we have today. And we were looking at portals and basically, you know, jumping from 2024 into 2025. And you know, all these things that are happening, we're shifting phase, and also knowing that the planets are going to align. Now, that should be very interesting. Or I think there's a lot of astronomers, people in general who really like to watch the sky, would be interested in seeing all these celestial events happening. You know, does it really have any meaning to us, or is it something that the planets do and the stars and all that do? It's their rhythm. You know, they have a rhythm. They have a path themselves. So they're living. They are living. So, you know, how much do we know, being little old humans here on Earth, about some of these celestial beings, as we can call it, you know?
Well, they're lights in the sky. I mean, even if you're from a traditional sort of biblical upbringing, the luminaries were for the purpose of for being able to track the signs, the times and the seasons, right? So that's their purpose.
Yeah.
So when we do see these significant events in the sky, what do they actually mean? It's quite and how do they affect things here on Earth, and how do they affect us as humans? Like, it's quite interesting. Or do they at all?
You know, that's right.
Yeah.
I like to think that there's probably some connection, even if it's not on us directly, on the elements around us, whatever other forces are at play.
Are we just not affected by it as much because we don't live in an agrarian society anymore? All of those little factors can either different things and different experiences in our different lives can either increase or decrease our sensitivity to these things.
Yeah, that's correct. Because we don't know doesn't mean it's mysterious to us, because the answers are probably there. It's just the language, and I think it comes down to the language that we speak, and the language we speak to them as well. So it's something to think about. It's really something to think about. Now we have a little bit of a visitor, P. Tripper. Welcome. You can unmute and have a chat to us. Hello?
Yeah, howdy. How's it going, P. Tripper? P. Tripper, 103, number 113. All the other P. Trippers are already taken. I'm sorry.
You might have mic problems. That's okay.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Mic issues, no worries. I wasn't trying to steer you off with the joke. Oh.
Oh, no. You might have mic issues.
Oh,
no, there he is.
He's doing the old turn it off and turn it back on trick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did
it work?
I think so. I can hear you in my headset. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, we can hear you now, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a new visitor, and I don't know what you're talking about, but hello.
Hello. Hello. So, welcome to Wednesday Arvo Show. We are just generally talking about celestial things at the moment. BT was seeing X marks the spot with her portals, and talking about portals, and then we were in 2024, some of us were in 2024, some of us in 2025, and we're all now in 2025, and we're just talking about things we're seeing. So the next thing that is happening is all the planets being in a line. We've got the wolf moon that's coming on the 13th, and apparently their planetary alignment on the 25th of January, and which is interesting because I think not too long after that will be when Chinese New Year starts. So it could all have something there. All I know is that I would love to see this. Would need to either get a telescope or maybe some really good high range binoculars to be able to see, and hopefully that the sky is clear. But it's interesting that the first full moon that we're going to have is called Wolf Moon.
That's very common, right? The wolf moon is always the first moon. Am I wrong? I don't know if that's right, but the isn't there the meaning behind the wolf Isn't that kind of like profound with the kind of like a wise, kind of like predictive behavior? I don't know, like a leader kind of wolf moon. Is that, does anyone know what the wolf moon stands for? Is that
what
already
is
been talked
moon?
About?
No.
Well, we know that the wolf is pretty much an apex predator. So,
but what is the wolf moon? That's what I want to know.
In the vampire legends, the wolf protected humans from the vampires, didn't it?
Yes, that would be right. All right, let's have a look to see what is happening about this full moon in 2025. Well, all it's giving us, and people who know astrology, I don't really know much about astrology other than I like staring at the skies and sometimes delving into a little knowledge in lots of things. But it just says that the moon will reach its peak brightness, shining with a magnitude of -12.5. It will be in the constellation of Gemini. Interesting, the twins. Our natural satellite is the brightest object in the night sky and is very to observe without special equipment. The lunar disk will look full to the naked eye for several days starting around the 12th of January. So that's interesting. If anybody can give us some insight on the actual wolf moon, that would be, oh, here we go. Let's have a look. Meaning and origin of the name. People from different cultures gave full moons names that represented particularities of the lunar month in which they occur. Throughout cold January nights, the howling of wolves could be heard around villages of both Europe and America. So January full moon became widely known as the wolf moon. People used to believe that the wolves howl because of winter hunger, but today we know that wolves generally use vocalizations to communicate, reinforce social bonds, and coordinate hunting. Ah, there we go. We're talking about language again. How's that? We have some different examples of the full moon. So, look, there's information you can find if you Google the full wolf moon 2025. It'll just give you some interesting facts about it. You can look through some web. There's one called Star Walk or Astronomy. Don't worry about the NASA stuff because we know that that is not real, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Need another astronaut or another actor. I'm not really sure where we're going to go with that one. Oh, dear.
Well, right. Here's another, just another spin on the whole portal discussion. And that is just... there's been a bit of just conspiracy talk around about the particle accelerators and the CERN super collider in Switzerland and all that sort of stuff. But just a brief look I've had just on particle accelerators. They've been around since the 30s. And now they're building these massive cyclotron super colliders, and there's over 30,000 of them worldwide. And they're rumored to be opening portals and everything as well. So the Hadron super colliders are rumored to be opening portals to other dimensions. I think there was a show on Netflix. I never watched it. The little American kids just really annoyed me. What was it called?
Stranger Things.
Stranger Things. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, I think that was about that. They opened a portal, didn't they, to another dimension?
Yeah, I think so. There's another one. I'm not sure if there was another one here done in Australia called. Is it Boy versus Universe or Boy Meets Universe or something like that? Anyway, I'll have to look it up. It doesn't really matter. But, it seems like very interesting that this time round everything is basically astrological. Like we have come into 2025 looking at time machines, portals, the different dimensions. And I just wonder, like, because we know this is going to be the age of AI as well, this is another dimension. And this is where, like, the children who are born today are going to be going into this, a different future, a future to that's different to any of us as well, you know, with all this machine. So is it what they were saying about transhumanism? I mean, is this part of this narrative that we read a long time ago about it, and we were exposed to it, and we were just being conditioned to these sort of things, you know?
That's the question.
Would it be the case? Yeah.
Well, maybe you were talking about a remote viewing earlier. Now, there's another operation, military operation that we've heard of on the internet. Don't know if it's really true or not, but it's called Operation Looking Glass. Have you heard of that one?
That's new to me.
Yes.
Let's take a look.
Yeah, Pete Tripp has heard of it.
Quick synopsis, yeah.
Operation Looking Glass was the operation that they were trying to look into the future, right?
Okay. So now, it's remote viewing.
Yes, remote viewing, but into the future, not just to other locations, right? That's right. Now, apparently they could successfully do that up until they couldn't see beyond the year 2012, which ties into that Mayan calendar and all that sort of stuff. So that's very interesting. But good stories and entertaining subject if you want to go down a rabbit hole and be thoroughly entertained. I don't know how true it is though, but seeing we're on the topic, I thought I'd bring it up.
Yeah. So, Pete Tripper, you said you heard about it. Like, what had you heard much about it?
I mean, nothing new to report here, but from what I understand, it has its own history, and prior to Trump entering stage right, it was just as D-Train described it. The plot thickened when people realized that there was some history regarding the United States President Trump's like uncle or grandfather who also worked for the CIA or FBI and claimed this artifact through, oh my gosh, Nikola Tesla. So it's like, it's fodder. I mean, well, here, of course, I'm not sure if this is being recorded or what, you know, what the show is about, but this is kind of like, you know, page turner kind of, you know, almost like just like a magazine kind of story. It's really just, you know, as the fringe topics evolve, I feel like it just, you know, they either build on previous stories, or, you know, it just kind of makes it less, you know, true to me. I don't know. So, but it's fun, you know, and how can we corroborate it? That's really what I always fall back on, you know, like how can we corroborate, you know, this with anything else? So.
Yeah, that's right. So the EC 135 Looking Glass aircraft, and they were airborne 24 hours a day for over 29 years. So the glass ceased to continuous airborne alert, but remained on the ground. For that. So how interesting that is that they wanted to launch something like that.
I actually work. That's funny because I actually work on that plane. That's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was
E4 and E6 are both different versions to that plane. And they're in the air continuously. They're fueled in the air. And they're the people who man those missions are they're very interesting people. So,
what happened on July 24th of 1990? That's when Looking Glass ended.
It ceased, but they did continue on, because if you have a look, it was designed to help prevent a nuclear attack on North America, basically. But the doomsday plane, it's like having the doomsday clock. That clock annoys me. the Boeing, as Peter was saying, E4 Night Watch. So that was the advanced airborne command post mission and aircraft. So, but throughout all that, because they wanted to tie it into the US National Emergency Network. So you had different operations under that. You had Operation Silk Purse, Operation Scope Light. You had Operation Blue Eagle, Operation Night Watch. So there's quite a few military operations going on. And you know what? It wouldn't surprise me that they're continuing all these. And it's not just in America itself, but it's around the world. Yeah. So you have to wonder, like, with all the allies that we have worldwide. So Australia and obviously America are allies. We do have American military here in Australia as well. But who knows what they're doing? Like, it's not widely known what they're testing and things like that. So there's so many different types of operations that are going on. Should we be fearful of it? Probably not. You know, they will tell us, they tell us what they want to tell us, and they tell, you know, don't when they don't. But sometimes it's good to question and to be aware of what's happening around you. You know
my favorite,
and I think that's the main thing.
My favorite ongoing potential conflict that's happening right now as we're talking is in the near the North Polar ice caps, as it's called. If you're familiar, you have China, Russia, and the United States actively conducting war games every day, each with respectively 60,000 troops, all waiting for the last ice cap to melt and claim that portion of water.
Yeah, and that's interesting. There's going to be another set of war games happening as well this year, somewhere in China. I'll have to look it up. I did see the information before, so I was like, here we go again. What's it going to bring this time around?
In Queensland especially, there's a war games like every year, like multiple times a year. In Northern Territory as well, they have the big ones. Operation Blackout was the last big one it was one of the world's biggest aerial war game, where they had to do everything like as if there was EMP and no electronics or anything. So there was a big one. So they were training for all that sort of stuff. But it's not a secret that they're training for it. I think that's part of just propaganda, to be honest with you. But they do the big ones up in North Queensland in the tropics, and off they come in off the sea, and they simulate invasions and all that sort of stuff, where they bring in massive sort of marine landing forces and then make their waypoints and stuff as part of their it's part of the exercise. It's pretty cool to see it on. You just watch it on TV, and you can see the increased military presence in the area. You'll see, you know, trucks and tanks going north, and you'll see the helicopters and the jets flying past and all that sort of stuff. Even though we're like 1,000 kilometers away from where they do it, you still see it around the time. So there's always military stuff going. That's all they do is train, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. And it's like we are conditioned too. Like, we always see there's a flight path over the water here all the time, and we always hear the aeroplanes go past here. A lot of the military planes, the helicopters and stuff like that. And it's like, wow, there's another jet fighter sort of plane just gone past and makes all the windows rattle and stuff like that. So we get used to that, you know, and then it's like in Townsville, there's a whole, we'll find out after the break.
Maybe.
Maybe.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to Conversation,
or your preoccupation,
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
And you're back on truthmeets.com, and you're with the Wednesday Arvo show. D Train, Medi, P Trooper, and myself, Verilicious. We're just basically talking about what's going to happen in 2025. Everything from are we being spied on? What is happening?
Yeah. I thought we were just like just rolling with the bullshit, you know? That was great.
It's covered in this.
That's it. Well, afternoon conversations on a Wednesday. It is a happy hump day for most people. Yeah.
Wednesday / Tuesday. You know, I'm the ghost of Christmas past year.
The ghost of Christmas past. Yeah. So it's interesting to
are we communicating through subspace?
In a sense. We are bending the space-time continuum by talking.
Right? Yeah, that's weird.
Well, the event horizon was the main one. I mean, we were literally talking across different years for a period of time. Ooh. Different people were living in different years. For the period of 4 hours that we talked. I mean, that's pretty rare. The fact that we could influence history at any given moment. Verilicious could have thought, you know what? I want 2024 to be defined by Medi driving. Nah, I'm not going to say some crazy scenario. Whatever. Insert crazy scenario here. It could have still happened even though you're living in 2025. It's just...
Like the Y2K stuff where everybody was waiting for that bug to happen. And I was like, what bug? What bug? What bug?
That just seems so crazy to me. I was not an adult during the time of the Y2K scare, but was that a pretty palpable fear amongst the average person?
You know what? I'll tell you...
Really, because... Oh, not really, because nobody had computers. Well, I didn't have a computer. Most people didn't. I mean, you paid cash for everything. Electrical grids, maybe. Who knows how they were built back those days. I wasn't an electrician. So, it would have been big for, like, maybe, you know, the stock market and stuff like that. But for the general public, life would have just went on.
Yeah, and I think phones back then was just still talk and text. So, there was nothing like what we have today. It was just basically you could talk and text.
I still didn't own a mobile phone at that point.
That was quite good.
I got my first mobile halfway through the year 2000, about June, July. I think I bought it June because I was starting the new financial year. And I was starting my own little business, so I bought a mobile to do that with. So but for Y2K, that was already in the past by that stage.
Yeah, and I think what people were worried about is because they were following this Mayan calendar, and I was like, I don't even
not for Y2K.
Know. Was it Y2K? I thought it was.
Y2K was the because they when they invented the computer systems, they didn't put beyond the 1900s into it.
We were going to end up in year zero.
That was going to put us back into the Stone Age. That's what it was going to do.
We were going to go back. We were going to go back in time. It was going to be a trip back in time, which means, Medi, you still would have been a child and you would have stayed a child.
Potentially, at least in this simulation, right?
That's right.
That's a joke. I'm sorry.
My brother was working for an internet company then, and they were all up and checking all the systems and stuff like that. And they all hung out till midnight and waited till everything ticked over. And I think I was partying in the city that time. And you know what? Nothing happened. Nothing happened. Except fireworks and everybody welcomed in year 2000.
Party like it's 1999, like the Prince song.
Yeah, and that was a huge song when that got played around quite a fair bit back then as well. So that was quite good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how's that? So we've got a few, talking about different shows. I think we've had a bit of time to watch a few different shows and, you know, going back to what we're talking about in our time travel and portals and the one of self and luminaries, astrology and Masonic stuff. It's all there. Whatever we're looking at, it's all there. If you look, you will see it. A lot of this stuff is invisible in invisible in plain sight. But if you know what you're looking for, it is all there. And, you know, we often joke about a lot of these things. We always joke about the numbers, and we joke about, the certain things in astrology and just all sorts of things that we have a bit of a joke about. But you know what? It's really there. Like, it's in front of us, and it's happening all the time. So there's going to be some new narratives they're going to be pushing out. Now, one narrative I did notice that was happening on this new Star Trek show was they were saying the words.
You're still going with the
lockdown, contact tracing.
Yeah, that's
isolation.
Right.
Oh, so man. That was following.
Yeah, they're doing it again.
These are these new episodes. So 2020. So going back, 2024 is when they started. So talking in the words that we were being conditioned to during that period of time. And it's very interesting that they're carrying that through shows, whether it's TV shows, movies.
If it's predictive programming, it's still going to happen.
The entertainment world as well.
Yeah, that's right.
It wouldn't surprise me that it's been carrying on into music and stuff like that as well. And you can see the patterns. Have a look for the patterns. You can see it if you're looking for it. But
myself for being a music junkie. It's just pattern recognition, truly. At the end of the day, it's not really a skill set.
And it's just you can apply it in real life as well. So this is what we're saying. Yeah, but it's been very interesting. All right, guys, well, let's wrap it up for today. We've had a bit of a chat just in regards to Beachy. This was for you about the portals. And
shout out to Beachy.
Next Wednesday Arvo show, where we will have another subject. Hopefully it will be something more exciting, maybe a movie. I'm thinking a movie, but we've said this many times before, and it's just a matter of finding time to sit down and pull out that popcorn.
The real intrigue is just the mystery of what each week is going to bring. We should just say until next time, who knows what's going to come up.
Exactly.
They don't need to know behind the scenes how chaotic and unplanned it is. It's all right.
Yeah, that's right. We are very chaotic and unplanned.
That's what makes
it beautiful. That is just the way the world works, and that does make it beautiful. Thanks, Mitty. All right, beautiful. All right, guys. Well, thank you for today's show, Wednesday Arvo and P Tripper. Thanks for popping in and being part of our Wednesday Arvo show.
You.
Are you still Ubering today?
No, I took a break today.
Oh, thank yay. You. He gets to stay. He gets to stay in our dimension.
It's a day off.
That's right.
That's it. Yeah. So, yes, enjoy your day, night, morning, whatever it is when you, if you're listening today or if you will be listening back on Restream from us at Wednesday Arvo Show. Have a great one, guys, and we will catch you on the next one.
That's right. You all do the same. Cheers to the next one.
Doodle pip.